Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. As I told you all last week, it's a long passage, and when I tried to read it straight through the other day, another equally long passage, I think we were all falling asleep. And so we'll break it up this time, we'll read a little bit, we'll try to preach, and then we'll keep reading and see if we can hear the story in its entirety. This is the story of Lazarus' death and Jesus bringing him back to life. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill, so the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in that place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of the world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him." The disciple said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." So we'll pause here for a second. A few weeks ago, we kind of discussed this idea of that question of why these bad things happen. And we tried to make sense of it by articulating that sometimes bad things just happen. And there's nobody's fault. We had this conversation in the midst of the blind man. The disciples asked, "Who's at fault? Why is this man blind? Was it his sin or his parents?" And Jesus simply said, "Well, there's nobody's at fault. But because this bad thing has happened, God is going to use it for his glory." That question kind of comes up with this first part of our story, doesn't it? Jesus gets news that his friend, this man that he loves, this Lazarus, he loves the whole family, Mary and Martha, their brother Lazarus, but Lazarus is ill. He's sick. And they want Jesus to come and heal him. And what does Jesus decide to do? "I'll wait till Monday. There's the weekend. We got other things going on here. Let's stay here. We'll wait a little while and we'll go later. This isn't something that's going to harm him." But apparently, Jesus knows that he's going to fall asleep. This is another euphemism for dying. Jesus apparently knows that Lazarus is going to die. But for the glory of God, we're going to wait here a little bit longer, and we'll show up when we get there. We'll get there when we get there. It's kind of tough, isn't it? Maybe it sounds like Jesus drug his feet a little while and let Lazarus die so he could bring him back. We'll have to put a pin in that and come back to it. But I still believe that through these bad things, God uses them for the glory of God, not necessarily causing them to happen. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been already dead in the tomb for 4 days. We'll stop there again. There's a common belief of the time that when you die, your soul lingers around your body for 3 days. So when John tells us that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, he's letting us know that Lazarus is good and dead. I think it was, the Princess Bride or Princess Diary? Which one was it? Where Billy Crystal, he's saving the guy. He's like, "Oh, he's not fully dead. He's just merely dead." Did I get that right?
Yes.
Thank you. Lazarus is not merely dead. He's good and fully, welly dead. His soul is gone. This is the first hint that this man is truly dead. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. We've got professional mourners. When somebody passes away, it's important to be there for the family. This is, again, one of the big roles that the community of faith and the church today still even offers. When somebody dies, what do? We call up the ladies group and say, this is when the funeral's going to be. Y'all make sure they got food to eat. And what do? You're there for them. You make sure you have food for them to eat. These things that are easy to set aside and not worry about in the depth of your grief, the community of faith provides for. There are folks there to console Martha and Mary on the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. I love this statement, because I think this is a great way to talk to God. Because on the one hand, it sounds like an accusation. There's things we just talked about. If you had just been here, I don't know what you've been doing the past 2 days, Jesus, but if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have been dead. But there's also a deep faith behind it, too. You can hear it as an accusation. You can also hear the faith in it. If you had just been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. I believe. Surely things could have been different, but here we are now. I know that you can do these things. As we read through the Psalms, we hear those same multi-leveled voices in them. The Psalms are filled with poems and songs of the psalmist crying out to God, what's wrong with you? How have you allowed this to happen? Are you not God? Are we not your people? Why is this happening? I think too often we forget that God can handle our anger and our upsetness. It's all right to call out to God. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Matter of fact, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Martha's thinking ahead. The resurrection's coming, all of us will be raised again. But Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. Now we got to go back a little bit. Jesus answered her, I am the resurrection. Do y'all remember us talking about that the other day? I am this name of God that God gave to Moses at the burning bush. When Moses is coming up with all of his excuses not to go back to Egypt and talk to the people, he says, when I get there and I say that you've sent me, they're going to ask who your name is and what should I say your name is? And God says, I am. We've been paying attention. That makes me happy. Jesus uses these sayings, I am, throughout this gospel. This is the last time here in his ministry that he will refer to him by that name, I am the resurrection and the life. I am he that speaks to you. I am the living water. I am. I am the resurrection and the life. Martha, you do not have to wait for that last day for the resurrection to come. I am here now. Those who believe in me, even though they die their physical deaths, they will live these spiritual lives. And those who believe and live in me spiritually will also never die spiritually. This is not a promise for immortality in our physical lives and bodies to continue forever. This life that Jesus is speaking of is that spiritual life. So Martha gets her answer, and after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher's here and is calling for you." I only have one sister, and she's a lot younger than me, but this sounds like a sister thing to do. Because if you'll remember, Jesus did not call for Mary, but Martha said she did. He wants you to go talk to him now, so go speak with him. That just tickled me for some reason. When Mary had heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but he was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her thought that she was going to the tomb. And so they followed her and were weeping there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." This must have been a common feeling for both of them independently to come to Jesus and say the same thing, "If only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said to her, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus doesn't try to have the same conversation with Mary that he had with Martha. Doesn't try to explain to her this resurrection at the end, and I'm the resurrection, and if you believe in me, you will never die. He's moved by her grief. He sees in her pain his own pain. Jesus is not some otherworldly deity who has no idea what we experience and go through. He sees her tears. He feels her broken heart. He is reminded of the deep and abiding love that he himself has for Lazarus and this family, and his heart breaks as well. And I think that Christ's heart still breaks when ours do. In our grief, in our pain, when we see our loved ones who are sick, when we mourn their deaths, when we see the terrible, awful things on our news and we weep out, I believe that Christ also weeps. But hearing these other folks again, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus is greatly disturbed. He comes to the tomb. Now this, we have to remember, we're in English and it's written in Greek, and so we've got some translation things to do. When Jesus sees Mary weeping, he's greatly disturbed in his spirit, and he's deeply moved, and he begins to weep. When he hears these people complaining about why he had to die when Jesus was not there, he's greatly disturbed also, but this is more of an anger. This is more of a fed up. Probably what your siblings used to make you feel when they were talking. "Man, my brother used to like chirp at me nice and quiet. And I would be greatly disturbed and I would yell out and then I would get in trouble for yelling and hollering. That ever happened to you guys?" Jesus is greatly disturbed. He comes to the cave, this tomb that is a cave with the stone lying against it, and Jesus says, "Take away the stone. Roll it away." Now, before we get too deep into this, I want you, because you're meant to, picture Jesus' own resurrection. This is a foreshadowing for the things that are going to happen to Jesus as well. "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he's been dead for 4 days." Good and dead. My first minister that I worked with in North Carolina loved to point out that here in the King James Version it says, "But Lord, he stinketh." He stinketh. He's been dead for 4 days, Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Who cares how long he's been dead? Who cares if he's already stinketh-in? If you believe, open that tomb." So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upon upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." Then he said, when he said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Jesus, hearing these people, if only he was here, he opened the blind man's eyes. Surely he could have kept this man from dying. Jesus, in his anger and his emotions, comes to the cave, and I imagine again Jesus in his feelings and his emotions being human. You can hear it in how quickly he's speaking. "Take away the stone. I've got work to do." Still angry. "Lord, he stinks. I don't care. Did I not tell you if you believed? Why are you not listening to me? Take it away so that the glory of God may come out." And then here Jesus is centering prayer. "I'm a little upset. Father, I know that you have sent me. I'm taking a moment. I know I'm not talking for you. I'm talking for these folks around that they may believe. Lazarus, come out." And guess what? Out comes Lazarus. How incredible. Dead for 4 days, stinking already. I can add in there, maybe there's some flies floating around. But out comes Lazarus. But unlike Jesus' resurrection that we'll read here in a few weeks, he's still bound. Death still clings to him. He hasn't taken a shower yet. He probably does still stink. He's still wrapped in those cloths. Jesus speaks to them and says, "Unbind him and let him go." We talked last week about the blind man who had to do something also to be healed. He had to respond to Jesus telling him to go and wash in the spring. Yes, Lazarus is back to life, but he's not fully there. He needs help from his community. Those who have not died yet need to unwrap him and set him free from all the things that death have bound him up in. Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what he had done. Now, we'll do this last part very quickly, but those Pharisees and the chief priests, they decide that this is the last thing that Jesus can do. It is in raising Lazarus up from death that these Pharisees decide that Jesus must die. And their example is very clear. Their understanding and reasoning is great, actually. Jesus is getting too much attention. Our Roman overlords who have this power over us that allow us to lead in this place are going to come and destroy us and our people and our temple because they don't like uprisings, and this Jesus is causing an uprising. So it'd be better for us if we just kill this one Jesus and save the multitude of people. It's better for one man to die for the nation than for all of us to be destroyed because of him. And this chief priest, Caiaphas, of course, does not hear what he's saying, because Jesus will indeed die, the one man, for all of the nations. But I want to go back to this unbinding of Lazarus. Have you ever had somebody come back to life in this way? A broken relationship, person at work that came back to life somehow. Have you ever sought forgiveness? But there has to be that response from the other. Somebody can ask for forgiveness all they want, but you have to unbind them in grace. Somebody can seek to come back, but the community has to unbind them. Whatever that death looked like, whatever that rebirth and that new life looks like, those who are on this side have to unbind them and let them back in. It's easy to respond, no, you've hurt me too much. You were already dead for 4 days and you stink. Get away from me. I'm not going to forgive you and let you back into my life. Perhaps that rebirth is from Christ. Perhaps that forgiveness is sincere. And that unbinding and that forgiveness and that grace is an extension of the miracle of Jesus' resurrection. I don't know in your particular example that you might have thought of, but perhaps we can unbind more folks. Next week, we'll hear of Jesus entering Jerusalem. It'll be a week away from Jesus' death and his beautiful resurrection. There are many things to consider, deaths and resurrections and ways that we can be God's people. Let's get ready for Easter. Amen.